Our subject for today is our foundation of faith. And I know that this is familiar words to you. We're going to use as our theme text, Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I think in a time in which we're living, again, faith has always been important because it all matters and things going on in this world. And government's being challenged, and we know that this end is coming soon, according to God's plans and purposes of this present evil world. But our foundation of faith that we build upon is so very important, as it's always been. But I think in this time of instant messaging and so forth, we see the horrors in the world going on, and we can lose sight of our goals sometime and get caught up in these things, and we want to stay away from that. So we can perhaps paraphrase our opening text from Hebrews 11:1 in this way. Faith is the basis, the evidence of our conviction concerning things hoped for as well as things not seen, based on the divine promises of God's word. How precious are those words? How precious are those promises as we study? Now, true faith really has substance, a mental substance, so to speak, which stimulates and clarifies our thoughts and guides our mind of the child of God to focus on the things that are important in our lives. You know, serving God, praising Him, being a comfort and consolation to the brethren, and study again to make our calling election sure and press on that mark set before us. And so we realize that it stimulates our thoughts, guides the mind of the child of God. And the essence of faith substance consists in receiving what God has revealed to us in the scriptures and really may be further defined as trust in the God of the scriptures, trust in God, the true and living God. Again, we know whose existence is doubted by millions in this world today. And in Christ Jesus, our Lord, whom He has sent. And such faith should motivate us and compel us to loving obedience and good works, Ephesians 2:10 and John 1:12, and also one more, James 2:14. Now, the personal trust we have in God is day by day. And, you know, sometimes, brother, it's moment by moment. Moment by moment, we need this strength, faith, a faith that's strong and compels us again to service and a dedication to Heavenly Father. And it's one of our primary means by which we obtain salvation. The evidence of faith gives way to secondary definitions for salvation, personal trust that we have in God. Again, it's so important. And trust also in our brethren, apart from good works in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised up for our justification, Romans 4, 24 and 25 from the English Standard Version. Now, brother, as we go on in our thoughts today, we're going to highlight really five facets of faith that I feel in my studies were so important and comprise that substance of our faith. So the first one that we have to consider is faith gives assurance. Faith gives assurance. And we walk by faith when we, again, it's one of the first elements of our trust and belief in God. We saw His character and that of His beloved Son, although imperfectly or in a limited measure. But then we were privileged to know more of Him. Again, it's an application of our faith. It's studying the Word. It's applying those things. And He gives us an opportunity to grow in appreciation of having our feet set upon the solid rock, the rock of faith, Ephesians 3, 17 through 19. As Paul expressed in 1 Corinthians 13, 12, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and then shall I know even as I am known. So faith is so important that we are told in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And just a little side comment, brethren. You know, this looking through this glass darkly. We remember, I thought it's brought out in the reprints that looking glasses back in pastor's time, Brother Russell's time, were not like we have today. And so if you look in that glass, my application of that is you see your own face darkly. But eventually, as you look into that glass, you should see a transformation. You should see more of Christ-like character in your reflection, because you're striving to walk in his footsteps. So that's what leads us to seeing him face to face, if we're faithful in all these things, the great things and also the little matters of life. And so we trust in him. He's the rewarder of them that believe that he is, and that he is really rewarding those that diligently seek him, not haphazardly seek him, and when we have a problem, seek him, but diligently seek him each day. As we find, faith is this, includes a substance of instruction and teaching, really found in God's holy word. And for a special benefit of the footstep followers, it's there through the eye of the Holy Spirit. And faith makes it possible for God's people to really have conviction concerning the plans and purposes that have been revealed to us. Again, you're always ready to give that expression, that reply to those who, what is your hope? It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. And again, in accordance with his will. Faith is evidenced in prayer. And we are told to pray without ceasing. And in 1 John 5:14, we read, faith, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Doesn't always answer it the way we might think. But if we're trusting in him and asking his will to be done, he's going to answer that prayer. You know, sometimes the answer to prayer is a red light, stop, right? Sometimes it's green, go ahead. And the harder one is that middle one, right? The yellow. Proceed with caution. And he's always there, though, to help us, because he wants us to lean on him. And faith is also used in reference for unseen scenes of which God speaks faith and gives substance to them, to the footstep followers of the Lord, so that they can act upon the conviction of their own experiences and reality. Faith acts as a working principle of our life. And the uses of faith are illustrated in our theme scripture. Now, faith is mainly really a wonderful thing that comes from the Heavenly Father through his promises. The promises of the Bible provide us assurance to the footstep followers of the Lord. A wonderful key point to our salvation is shown in the words, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, Luke 12:32. And we have much to be thankful for, as shown in the words, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, Psalm 46:1. Also, in this world today, if God be for us, who can be against us, Romans 8:31. And these words from the Lord and many other promises from the Word of God should strengthen our assurance that a Heavenly Father will provide those who trust in him through his faith in his Word of truth with the needed guidance and direction to grow to spiritual maturity in a way pleasing to him. So we're striving again not to please and honor self, but the Lord. How can we please him? How can we show our devotion to him daily? And we're advised to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of the Lord, Colossians 1:10, Ephesians 4:15. We are to serve the Lord with thankfulness for all the blessings that he has given us, and following his instructions, as we mentioned. And so really the substance and evidence of God's word and his overruling providences should be evident in our daily lives. And we say this, let us draw near with a true, sincere heart in full assurance of faith, Hebrews 10:22. Now, brethren, the second point we'd like to use, a second facet, is faith calls for perseverance. Faith calls for perseverance. As we grow in faith as Christians, we call life's experiences, including the joys and sorrows. And we're not going to have all mountaintop experiences, as we had mentioned. Our brethren have suffered. They have suffered for the truth. They've suffered for the cause of truth and righteousness, as we know. And they have upheld that banner of truth until the very end. We had one mentioned in the earlier comments, finishing their course. We're saddened, but we rejoice that their trials and testing experiences of this present life are over, and if faithful, they were able to enter into the joys of the Lord. So We are to become stronger in the Lord and the power of his might. Once again, those words are from Ephesians 6:10. Become strong requires really continuous exercise, training, perseverance, pressing on, as we know. In our spiritual training, we should be energized by God's word, energized by it. It should fill our being, our minds, our new hearts, our new minds. We're looking for ways to serve him and the brethren, the cause of truth and righteousness once again. And we have this wonderful relationship through him, with him, through our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. We have the same favors, the same promises and inspiring hopes that Jesus had and the apostles had. Yet to fully obtain these, we must persevere day by day. Through all of our experiences, we should be reminded of the verse, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promised, Hebrews 10:23. We should then become stronger in the Lord and in the power of his might by communion with our Father, through our Lord Jesus, desiring to serve him in spirit and in truth, 1 John 5:6. Now, Paul, as we recall, was energized by the message of God's word, which spoke to him in peace and by a relationship to God through Christ. So important, as I think was mentioned in the comments tonight, from persecution to now reverence and devotion and laying down his life for the brethren, as he did so well in his course. Paul's inward man had this assurance of the Lord that the glories of the future would be proportionate to the trials faithfully endured. And we should have this confidence in him. We are partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Hebrews 10:23 and Hebrews 3:14. Now it's easy again to trust in him and be partakers of these things when things are going well, but we have trials, testing experiences, and sorrows. Perhaps it's a little harder to approach him, but we must do so. He knows our needs, but we have to approach him in this proper way. Our desire should be one that is expressed as desire to serve him with our whole heart, as Brother Darren mentioned, casting our care upon him because he careth for you. And why? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, settle, strengthen you. What beautiful words. That's 1 Peter 5:7-10. And we also, though, you know, Satan tries to plant a seed in our mind of pride and envy and doubt and discouragement. And these can be the little foxes that nip at the vine, but they can grow to greater things. So trust in him. Fight that good fight of faith. When those in the school of Christ might come to appreciate the trials that we are having and will have that come upon us are manifestations of divine favor. This is our time for our trying, our testing. For this reason, the things of this world and its allurements are not for those who strive to walk in the Lord's footsteps, and their temptation must be resisted. 1 Corinthians 1:27-28. And also going back to Luke 16:13, we should give thanks to God, our Father, that he has called us out of darkness and his marvelous light. Once again, 1 Peter 2:9. We should also be thankful that he's preserved us each day, kept us from falling so far in our Christian walk. John 15:5. Now we have many tests concerning the degree of our loyalty toward God, and they've all come throughout our Christian walk. Wherefore, we are to hold fast to the glorious truth, and not only in letter or words and actions, but also in the spirit, the disposition and character and love of God's truth. We should be the most content, happy people in the world, because we have found that wonderful pearl of great price. Do you hold that pearl dearly to your heart? We must sow. And so we realize that this spirit of disposition and character and the love of God's truth is so important. Such an important part of our perseverance has to do with having a proper attitude, as we expressed, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching towards those things which are before, I press on to the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, Philippians 3, 13 and 14. Now we know that this has to do with the realization that we must focus our energy upon the things that would draw us closer to God. This includes striving to keep our core, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And there will be praise. There will be opportunities for that. Think on those things. I don't know about you, but I don't look at the news much anymore. It's a horror every morning of what took place at night with all this crime and degradation of mankind. And it's accepted as being normal. It's not. We know God's wonderful kingdom of righteousness, justice, love, and power be established on this earth forever. And our consideration of the importance of perseverance would not be complete without continuing to have the wonderful privilege of prayer active in our lives, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and reaching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, Ephesians 6:18. Now a child of God must have an active prayer life. Again, we're told with all perseverance. Remember the words, in everything give thanks, everything. We don't say, as remember Paul said, don't say I'll go here or there, but if it's God's will, we'll do these things. And that's so easy to get caught up in. Not thanking God and not asking his will in all things. And he'll show us that, as we mentioned earlier in our comments, what that will for us is. But he wants us to approach him, but again, with all perseverance, persevering mind, pressing on, doing the things asked of us, and even more so, looking for ways of service and daily experiences, praying for help and guidance, and with the thought of being faithful to God's will in all things. We are also to remember to pray for our brethren, those of the household of faith. And I know it was mentioned about Brother Bill Dutka. These meetings, this is a blessed privilege. This is the increase of knowledge, though, that we see brethren from all over the world in an instant. You can talk to them. You can fellowship. And I think this is made possible. It can bind us closer together. And don't you feel good to see your yoke fellows from all points of the world, smiling, offering kind words, offering a prayer, offering their love and devotion. These are important things, especially in these trying times in which we're going through. So we can further see the importance of remembering the faith of others in the Lord. We're going to go back to Paul's words from Ephesians 1. 15 through 17. And it reads thus, and this is from the King James. After I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So wisdom and understanding that you can make your calling election sure. Because each one that makes their call and election sure, we get closer to these blessings that flow to all the families on the earth and the full establishment of a wonderful kingdom that will bring blessings to all the willing and obedient. And these words point us to the importance of our knowledge concerning the gift of God, of our Lord Jesus, John 3:16, his beloved son, referred to as the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, Philippians 3:8. Now, dear brethren, the third point we want to bring out is faith inspires gratitude. Faith inspires gratitude. We've already mentioned some points along this line. But once again, we should be ever thankful to our Heavenly Father. We owe our all to Him through His only begotten Son. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and our one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. 1 Corinthians 8:6. Remember, He said, come after me, take up your cross and follow me. You're going to have trials and circumstances, but faithfully follow me. Be cross bearers, be livers of the faith, be doers of the word. All these things come into play and should really inspire our gratitude. We thank Him continuously for all that He provides us. So important. Recall the words of Paul. Ye are not your own, but you were bought and paid for with a price. Therefore, glorify your God. Scripture really points out, as it should, that our time, our talents, our influences, our finances, and all that we consider precious or in any degree valuable, properly and rightly belongs to the Lord. Even our life itself. When you vowed that consecration vow and it was accepted, you responded to that call, give me thine heart. As was mentioned earlier in our last service, you have entered into this narrow way and you want to, again, give up your life rights each day and not turn back to what you might have left behind, but point forward to that light shining, the illumination of your mind through the Holy Spirit. So let us have grace whereby we might serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, piety, awe, the most powerful being that was ever in this universe. Hebrews 12:28 from the Revised Version. Now, the Father assures us, and He has assured us, that He loves us dearly. Remember that the pure, lovely, and true things originated from the Father. And we know that the Heavenly Father is concerned with and about every matter in our lives and everything which you are involved, that we are involved with. Our faith and trust in Him should cause us to be ever mindful that we have our Lord there for help and encouragement, for comfort, for consolation, guidance, and rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28-29. And we realize again that some things are only between us and the Lord. Remember, we'll remember Him. I'll be remembered in the night watches, those times when not, it doesn't have to be at night as it is here in Florida, but the troubled times we go through, that we have to trust in Him and He's there to listen because He says, I have loved thee with everlasting love and therefore with loving kindness I have known thee. Or I have excluded my loving kindness, extended, excuse me, unto thee. Jeremiah 31:31. Think of those words. He's extended His loving kindness unto us. And I like to think of that, you know, we realize there's none that have virtue. None are promised these things because of self. But He saw something in each of you, brethren, that could be used in His service to help mankind, again, be taught of Him. He saw something, some talent in you that He can develop. And we should trust in Him and rest in the Lord. For the Lord is strong and mighty. The Lord gives strength to His people, Psalm 29:11. He is our heavenly friend, our confidant, our comforter. His character was so represented to us in the Bible that He was referred to as the brightness of His glory and of His person, Hebrews 1:3. So we realize that our Heavenly Father's character has been revealed to us through our faith in Him and through the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit. And our depth of faith compels us, as it did the Apostle Paul, be ye followers, imitators of me, even as I also am of Christ, 1 Corinthians 4:16. and 11:1, and also Ephesians 5:1-2. And I, you know, just a sidebar here, we realize that I think in all of our lives, you can think of somebody, an elder, a deacon, a parent, someone that you met with in the meetings that inspired you through their example to go on and develop this character trait that would lead you to be a warm, loving, and tender-hearted person. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, casting your care upon him, because he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. So, each day, we are privileged to go on with our growth and development. Our attitude should be as expressed in the words from Psalm 116, 12, and 14. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. So let us declare of our thankfulness to him in every opportunity. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto God, Psalm 40, verse 3. And I think that sometimes referred to the song of Moses and the Lamb. So, dear brethren, we're privileged through the eye of faith to realize that he has everything in control through his wonderful plan. It should inspire us to go on to have much faithfulness unto death, seeing that we are to receive glory, honor, and immortality, having faithfully trusted in him through, again, his grace. We can say, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift, the greatest gift that has ever been given, the gift of God's only begotten Son, our Savior and our Redeemer. Now, point number 4, faith leads to and requires mutual love. Faith leads to and requires mutual love. Now, this expression concerning our faith is used in the words, now about it, faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity or love, 1 Corinthians 13:13. Now, we recall that charity used in the scriptures is love. Love is completely unselfish, this type, not desiring anything in return. This kind of love can be demonstrated by acts of kindness, providing assistance, engaging in sacrificial work and service for others, and even acts of goodwill toward our men, mankind. Again, love can be defined as goodwill, giving alms, something else that comes to act generously. And our Lord says to put this type of love into practice in the form of command from John 15, verses 12 to 13. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, and he laid down his life for his friends. And brethren, Mark 10:45 tells us there can be no love without service. Again, putting it into service. Present your body as a living sacrifice, reasonable service. That's through love. You love the Heavenly Father. You love his Son. You love the brethren. And indeed, even the world of mankind, not the sin, but the human beings that we share this planet with. So faith without works is dead, James 2:14. So we're encouraged to study the word. And by works, our faith is made perfect and our love made stronger. So faith acts as a foundation upon which we build, as we mentioned in our theme text. The importance and the title of laying down a good foundation concerning our preparation through faith is mentioned in 1 Timothy 6:19. If any man build upon this foundation gold and silver and precious stones, again, 1 Corinthians 3:12 refers to divine requirements that they would be able to stand firmly during our trials. And 2 Peter 2:1-8 tells us, beside this, give all diligence, add your faith, virtue to virtue, knowledge to knowledge, temperance to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. And this is the type that we're looking for in our lives. It's built upon this. And we know that we're going on to perfect love, the agape love. So, love suffers long, is kind. Love does not envy. Love is not boastful. Doing for others and not self. It is not puffed up. It does not act unseemingly. Seeks not that which is not her own. Is not provoked to anger. Does not impute evil. Rejoices not in iniquity. So rejoices in the truth, it says. It covers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love does not fail at any time. That's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 8 in the Dialogue. We realize also that love is so important. Without love, you cannot please God. He loves a cheerful giver. And keep our hearts full of love and devotion for Heavenly Father. So it's overpouring in our lives, that they may do what? See your good works and give glory not to Mike Balco, but to the Heavenly Father. It's our first duty, our continual duty, and it will be our culmination of our duty. Be ye holy, for I am holy. 1 Peter 1:16. We must then have our hearts and minds in realization to let brotherly love continue. Once again, Hebrews 11:1. Continue. To not depart, to hold, to keep continually, and to grow and develop in our lives. Love the brotherhood, do good to them, even those that despitefully use you of the world. Now, our fifth point is faith produces endurance. Faith produces endurance. Wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin. Which does so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God in heaven on that throne. Hebrews 12:1-2. We realize that also that if you look back in the Old Testament, we see ones that were so faithful that they trusted in God completely, that they become to be known as heroes of faith in Hebrews 11:4-29. And even so, though, God hath provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect, Hebrews 11:40. However, we should be inspired by examples to us. We study this word. We see what they endured. And so, we learn from these. These are examples or examples to us, and we're inspired by them to go on, endure the greatest amount of persecution and have the greatest amount of faithfulness running our course. Knowing that he with raised up the Lord Jesus, so raised up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound unto the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, and though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed by faith in him. Our light afflictions, which is for a moment, worketh in far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. For we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Again, that's 2 Corinthians 4th chapter. The church will be the temple of the living God, perfect in heaven. And so each member of this begotten of the Holy Spirit as new creatures in 2 Corinthians 5:17 must realize that God is dealing with you. He has promised to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I will be made a pillar in the temple of my God, Revelation 3:12. So, we realize that that foundation of faith, remember the strong foundation built upon Christ and the apostles, goes up and now there's a pillar in the temple of God built upon that foundation. What a blessed thought. Because you patiently endured, you obtain the promise if you're faithful unto death. And so we don't want to become faint and weary in our hearts, but let us have that faith and trust in him in all matters of life. Trust in him. Go on. Be you followers of me, even as I am followers of Christ. Paul's words again in 1 Corinthians 11:1. If any man will come after him, he said, let him deny his cross, take it up and follow our Lord. Rejoice the cup of trials and testings and sorrow experiences are making it possible for us to gain victories over self, our resistance to sacrifice, that old mind. Indeed, we realize that blessed are your eyes, for they see. You'll be enlightened through the Holy Spirit. And we realize that we rejoice in our sufferings, but we will not be tempted above that which we are able to endure. So we realize again, it's important for us to know that these things that come upon us are temptations, testings from the adversary, because God tempteth no man. And so, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, from Matthew 5:12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, because great is your reward in heaven. Now, brethren, as we go on and conclude our thoughts, again, this basis for our faith, the foundation, build upon that, and everything else added to faith, virtue, love, devotion, sympathy, all those things, the building blocks of our character likeness to the Lord. Let us review just quickly the substance and facets of our faith. Number one was faith is assurance. If God be for us, who can be against us? Romans 8:31. A crown of life awaits us at the end of our earthly course. The second one is perseverance, pressing on to that mark, Philippians 3:14. And we are to study the word, feed on his word, and bear fruit, Matthew 4:4. The third one, faith is gratitude. It is shown through the attitude of looking to the Father and thanking him for all of our experiences, both in the valley and mountaintop ones, as we mentioned. And in everything, give thanks, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It's reflected by prayer and by having an active prayer life our Lord had taught us to do, Luke 11:1-4. Faith requires mutual love. The fourth one, God, of course, loved us first when we were, again, reminded by our Lord then to love one another. Love the Lord and your neighbor as yourself, Mark 12:30-31. And so faith is endurance, the fifth point. Our latest thought and desire shall be, what shall I render unto the Lord for all of his benefits toward me? Our morning resolve, familiar words, keeping our sacrifice on the altar, putting on and keeping on the whole armor of God and holding fast the profession of our faith, which includes enduring steadfast to the end. Now, our closing comments, brethren, as our time is almost up. A final victory through faith. Apostle Paul wrote, all that hath been begotten of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory, Apostle John wrote, that overcomes the world, even our faith. 1 John 5:4 from the Dialogue. We know that although faith is necessary to gain the victory, our triumph is made possible only by the conquering power of God and trusting in our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Through the Holy Spirit, we can gain victory. We're guided by that Spirit. And we know that all things work together for those who seek God, those called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. Be submissive to our Heavenly Father. Continually put on faith and trust in him each day. Just as we get dressed, we're dressed in this faith. It's close to our heart, and we hold his promises there from faith to faith. Remember, the righteous, the just shall live by faith, Romans 1:17. So only those who are fully baptized in sacrificial death of our Lord with these thoughts in mind shall be granted a share with him in glory as his joint heirs and members of the great prophet, priest, king, mediator, and judge of the world of mankind and messianic kingdom, Revelation 3:21 and 2 Timothy 2:10-12. Now, brethren, the final members of Christ's body will all soon be raised up in glory, become sharers in the first resurrection, Revelation 20:6, and having been faithful unto death, the promise given by Jesus in the upper room shall be fulfilled. I will, he said, receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also, John 14:3. Then will come the fulfillment of our faith as expressed in the prayer, thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven. Amen.